Hey, Coach, how are you tonight?
I am good. Yourself?
I can't complain. Thank you very much. So on Friday night, when you joined Mark Steven in the locker room, you said, hey, it was an entertaining game, but we just didn't play well enough. So you've had a couple of days to look at the tape and go back over it. What are your thoughts now?
Yeah, I mean, every game we play is entertaining. Some are going our way, and we did feel like we played well enough to win, but didn't. So you have to kind of look back what went wrong and where we kind of gave it up. And there's lots of areas. Lots of times you look at games, you don't know which plays are going to make the difference. But if you just would have made another play or two, you probably would have won, and I think that was the case in that game.
Well, you're exactly right, and I just talked about it. 2:20 left to go. You get the ball back, but unfortunately, it was a quick two and out, and it gave Winnipeg another opportunity, you know, to get to within field goal range. And Bo said, "Hey, that's on him," you know, because you know it was good all night, but unfortunately, couldn't get it done at that time. Just your thoughts on, you know, again, there's no running game, which is a little bit unfortunate for this team, but the passing game was so effective all night long.
Well, yeah, I appreciate Bo taking the heat for that, but both balls are catchable. Both passes could have been caught. Were they easy? Maybe not, but definitely could have been caught. So, you know, it is what it is. Bo played one of his best games again. He's on fire. You're right. The running game isn't what it needs to be. I'm not sure, you know, it's going to change. So we're working hard at it, but maybe that's who we are. So we have to figure that out and try to win as many games as we can. And if your quarterback's your best player and he's on fire, try to ride it out. We had our chances. You're right. Offensively there. And then we only had six plays in the fourth quarter. And that means your defense ain't getting you the ball either. So it was a team loss. I mean, we can't say they sit here and say we completely outplayed them because they made their plays. We won the penalty battle. We won the turnover battle. And yet we lost. That doesn't happen very often with Stampeder football.
The running game, and of course, you know, we got lots of texts about it on Friday night. I'm sure I'm going to get some more texts tonight. Ante Leader, 11 carries, 35 yards. Don Jackson, he only had the one carry. That really is a ratio situation. And as you say, maybe it is what it is, that you're going to have to be more of a passing attack, you know, heading into the playoffs. But can you get Don Jackson more involved, or is that just because of the ratio situation going to be very difficult?
I could have got him more involved a little bit there. I mean, I didn't get a lot of runs anyway, but I had the option. I have to take an American out. I have to take a receiver, an O-lineman out. And I felt like O-line, you can say that they didn't, you know, great run blocking, but they did a nice job in protection against, I think Winnipeg threw the kitchen sink at us. They were putting guys everywhere, bringing a lot of pressure. I didn't think we handled the linebacker dog blitz, what we would call, you know, like where he would come downhill on our guards. I don't think we handled it. And but other than that, we did a pretty fair job, and I thought Bo was moving around well. Mm-hmm. But you're right. We need to run better. But you know what? It's got to be a little bit more patient on my part, but we have to have some production. I'm not going to sit there and say that we made run plays. We didn't. So pass game was working. You try to stick with what works.
Right. You know, hey, four touchdown passes. It was, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell completes 31 of 43. You know, we've talked a lot about the quarterback. Unfortunately, Eric Rogers does get a little dinged up in the fourth quarter. Any update? I know you haven't practiced the last couple of days.
Yeah, I gave him an extra day. I think they need it. I think our whole team is fighting it a little bit, but Eric and Reggie went out after that big hit. We were just honestly trying to mix and match a little bit. That would have been my chance to get Donnie in the game, though. But then Eric came back, and then he came out, and we missed him at the end, no doubt about it. But I think he'll be all right, but okay. No guarantees. He's had a great season, and once again, a couple more touchdowns. The passing game was solid. Like you said, it doesn't mean you're going to win games, though, necessarily, if you only, you know, can't quite finish. And it was so close. We just needed two more catches. I think it would have got the job done.
I give a lot of credit to Zach Kolaros. You know, after he got hit by Winton McManus in the second quarter, I'm thinking, wow, this guy's not getting up. He did get up. And hey, you have to appreciate the game that he played.
I thought he was solid. I mean, I don't think he lit it on fire. I thought he was solid. But sometimes that's all it takes. And they control the ball. They, he made an amazing play you know, when he put that one in the corner of the end zone. I'm not sure he was even aiming for that guy. I guess you have to ask him. But that was a great play. And that was a play he's made in the past, which that's when you can see the skill and the talent. And but he didn't, you know, he did give us an interception and should have had another. He hit Winton right in the chest. But he did, like you said, for his first game back and taking that big hit, he rallied his troops and he got the job done.
They obviously were a different team with him under center because their running attack was okay, but not like it was the week before. And that just added a different dimension to the game, didn't it? But it didn't probably surprise you guys at all.
Well, I mean, he definitely, you know, Strebler can do some good things, and different things. You're right, 100%. He wasn't even available to him. So it did change it, and it did work itself back into more of a traditional game plan. You know, for our coaches, we had to alter what we called and did. Thought we handled it fairly well. I mean, we held Andrew in check. I'm not ever going to say you're going to stop him. It's when you keep Andrew, and, you know, I think it's 15 for 64, somewhere in there. We feel like that is a fairly fair job. But when we needed to stop him the most, we couldn't get done either. So it just was one of those games where, like you said, it was going our way, but we just weren't able to finish.
A scary moment for Royce Meachie as he has to go to the hospital. He was able to get on the team plane when you guys were coming back. So I take it everything came back negative on the x-rays, but he looked like he's a pretty sore football player.
Yeah, and it was a mistake on our linebackers that forced him into that tackle. And that's where sometimes we just got to make sure we do our job. You know, instead of trying to do someone else's job, do yours. And Metra's covering up for a linebacker, didn't even get the switch, and took a big hit. I think he's going to be all right. I think he has a good chance to play as well. But
okay.
We'll always be cautious on that. It's not anything with his spine. It's muscular, but it is, it definitely spooks you. When you get that feeling and numbness. So at least that's what I'm told. So I feel good about we've given him this due diligence and we've checked everything out. Now we just got to see if he is capable of playing.
Okay, before I let our listeners loose on you, Coach, maybe just one more positive here. Herji Mayala, again, he just seems to be coming into his own after the NCAA game. He really seems to be adapting to the Canadian game as the season goes.
That's the guy we drafted first round, and now he's taken a few more steps even than we thought he'd get to, but we felt he could be a real good player. I thought he's been clutch, too. I mean, he's catching touchdowns. Bo's finding him with his scrambles. He's got strong hands. He's a pretty confident player right now, and I do feel like we're pretty balanced, too. I think we have four weapons now. We can use all four, which should make us a better team in the pass game.
Okay, Coach, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to come back and open it up to the phone lines. You know the numbers. If you want to talk to Coach Dave Dickinson, now's the time to do it for Tom's House of Pizza. Easy to call, easy to text. One number does it all, 403-974-8255. Stampeders lose to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Friday night. One game left on the regular season. That's this Saturday night in Vancouver against the Lions. This is 770 CHQR. And back with head coach Dave Dickinson here on Sports Talk with Jock. Let's go to the phone lines. Edward, you're on the air with the coach.
How you doing? My son's a Stampeders season tickets coach, Mr. Dickinson, for 12 straight years, and I just got my $460 107th Grey Cup ticket my son sent to me. But I just wanted to say something to you and to get your views on this. I the CFL needs to get rid of the non-committing one-year contracts, even with rookies now, and start building some continuity amongst CFL teams, and that they aren't depleted every year, and finally allow the GMs and coaches too as well to recruit the best available players to start and play in the CFL at every position for an entire CFL game, like the other professional sports leagues do, including MLS soccer, not be handcuffed and dictated to who starts and plays in the CFL by a guaranteed Canadian starter ratio. And the CFL also needs, and I don't know if you heard about this rule that was presented to the commissioner of the CFL, Spider CFL Red Zone Rule, that will remarkably completely eliminate all the biggest turnoffs, the two biggest turnoffs and killers of our CFL three-dog game, that being all the distasteful two-down football stops in the red zone and all the boring, predictable, non-eventful, easy chip shot field goals in the red zone, completely gone. That will make our CFL three-down game a lot better and a lot more entertaining and a lot more exciting brand of CFL three-down football to watch and be part of. And thank you for allowing me to say that.
All right, Edward, thank you very much. I'm not sure if the coach has a response to that or not, but I'll leave it up to you, Coach.
I will respond, I mean, because listen, you can always make the game better, 100%. If you think that the CFL game is not an outstanding game and that this year our games have been as exciting as any league, any sport, anywhere. I mean, if you don't like CFL games this year, you're probably in the wrong business. So, I mean, I get that he wants to improve. But, man, if we had an entertaining year, I think our fans have proven that they enjoy it. They're coming out in droves. And I think we can make it better, though. I'm not sure I'm going to mess with the ratio, but that's probably a topic for another day. But,
fair enough.
I do think there's always ways to make it better.
Edward, I'm glad your son's a season ticket holder, and I'm glad you got your tickets for Grey Cup 107. That is good. This one comes from Kevin on the text line, and Kevin says, hey, Coach, have noticed a red zone two-point conversion trend with Bo staying away from the edges of the end zone. A lot of throws have gone near or in the vicinity of the goal line. If we have gone over the top, the ball is out early and in the receiver's hands, 5 yards from the side or the end lines. Personally love this because we have a world-class accurate quarterback for 10 to 25-yard throws that works heavily to our advantage. Is this by design, or has it just worked out this way? That's from Kevin.
We went for two three times again this past game. I mean, we have plays. We have plays we like. I mean, we got options across the board. It kind of depends on what they're playing and where we think we get our strengths, but obviously, we missed one, too, on an under route, which we had a guy open in the corner. But most teams will protect the line. They understand that back line is to their advantage. You know, we're just trying to find ways to get in there. Obviously, we've had pretty good luck. I think we're around 70%, you know, maybe higher throwing on two-point conversion. Haven't had as much luck running it in. But, you know, I think Bo understands the rules, loves the 20-yard end zones, and takes advantage of it when he can.
This texter didn't leave a name, but the texter says, Jock, can you please ask Dave why he chose to punt into the wind from deep in our own end zone?
It's a philosophy of mine. Obviously, it doesn't work out for you. I punted from the 12 earlier, and we didn't give up anything. One of the reasons you do, you know, if you're really tight, you're on the 8, I agree, it's tight, but I felt like we've got a good punter, one of the best in the league, and we're up by 4. So if you take yourself and you give yourself a 2-point loss there. Then if you kick off, you know, 25, obviously they're almost in field goal range to take the lead. So I was feeling pretty good about our defense. They were hanging in there, no doubt about it. But with the penalty and the poor punt and then obviously give up the touchdown, certainly didn't look like a good decision.
Yeah, fair enough. This one from Christian, and Christian says, Josh Huff only had one catch. He was targeted 4 times. Did the Bombers take him off his game, or was it an off game for Josh?
Wasn't an off game. In fact, he was open quite a bit. Ball didn't find him. You watched the way he was running and running his routes. He got open. Had him on a wheel route. We underthrew him. So I thought he was still running fast. I really feel like he's comfortable in what we're doing now. And, you know, not always does that position get balls, though, let's be honest. That's been a position that's had big games or very little production in the game. And, you know, we would like to got him more, but, you know, it wasn't like the other guys weren't making plays. They do have a really good boundary corner. I think Winston Rowe is one of the best in the league, but watching the tape, Josh still got open and the ball just didn't find him.
Okay, fair enough. That's it on the text line, Coach. So just I'll ask you a couple to wrap it up here. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, obviously, they're now in the rearview mirror. All you can look ahead is to the BC Lions. Mike Riley is down. What's your message when you get the guys back into the practice facility tomorrow? And what's your focus heading into this week?
What we told them is, listen, there's still a path to where we want to get to. It's a different path than if we would have won that game, but and it might be a little bit tougher, a little bit windier, but the path is there. Let's focus on getting better and trying to take care of business. We wanted to go in trying to win our last game anyway. We want to get some momentum. We understand I've been in the league a long time. These guys that come off byes and it's their last game and you're going to say, well, they don't have anything to play for. They're very dangerous because they play very loose, and they really are trying to play spoiler. And I definitely feel like, obviously, we'll have to play a very good game in order to win it. It's on the road. Yeah, it makes it a little easier with Mike not in there, but they've had 2 weeks to look at us. prepare their game plan, get their quarterback ready, and they'll be after us, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm.
The one nice thing is the elements won't be a factor. You're indoors at BC Play Stadium, and hey, if your team can play their game, you have to feel good about your chances.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like you said, our team is improving too, which is good. Not always does it play out perfectly for you with wins and losses, but I definitely do believe that you got a chance to get yourself rolling. Just a game, it's an important game. We're going to have to win more important games, but it would be nice to secure that home field advantage. If you have to go double road trips, very difficult. We're not giving up if we don't win, obviously, but we know it'd be a much easier path if we can get the win and at least get one game back here at McMahon. Hopefully we can get some luck from the Eskimos, but we got to just make sure we take care of our business and try to win a game.
The last time I checked, I think it was 12 players on the six-game injury list. I don't think any of those players are coming back anytime soon. Is there any update on Corey Greenwood?
I mean, he's getting better, but slowly. Just keeping our fingers crossed. He's getting good medical care. The doctors think they got a handle on what's giving him his problems. They're just trying to get it fixed. We could use him. There ain't no doubt about it. You know, there's a few guys on there. You know, Cordero Law would be another guy that we really missed. It was a great, to us. I'm hoping that he has a chance this week. He would help us. But I also got to weigh all these things with also the fact that we do want to win this game, but I need these guys in the playoffs. We won't be able to play our best without these guys. So I got to really weigh that and decide how to structure our roster.
How did you like Dexter McCoyle on special teams?
Well, we got him down for like four tackles for him. I mean, maybe not all solos. He took a penalty on a rule that's a little different up here. Got that figured out. Did a good job, you know, and I think he could play more this week. Nate Hawley's had a good year. I do believe Dexter, though, is here for a reason. He needs to play. I need to get him ready to go, and hopefully he helps us.
Coach, as always, appreciate your time, and stay warm this week, and we'll see what happens on Saturday night.
That's the plan, Jack.
All right. Take care. Dave Dickinson, head coach, the Calgary Stampeders, joins us after every game, so he'll be back with us again next Monday here on Sports Talk with Jock. Stamps and the Lions, 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night. Our Truman Insurance pregame show is on the air at 6:30. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hook up with Moses Waldo from Global Sports. He's just back from Regina, the Heritage Classic. I wonder if Moses got into any trouble in Regina. We'll ask him that when we come back on 770 CHQR.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.